Awesome. Praise the Lord. That's right. One person. One person. Well, it is so good to be here with you today. As you can see, we've got the articles out here to remember our Lord. And, of course, we're going to get some encouragement before that. We have to go through our favorite part of the day, okay? Announcements. Small groups. I can't press this enough. Matter of fact, I have to stand up and tell you that we're starting on the January the 20th. Many groups are going to be meeting on Sunday. But the goal of small groups is for us not just get everybody involved. I wish you could look at some of the behind-the-door scenes where Pastor Thaddeus has to calm me down and tell me that the Lord is the one who's going to grow his church and build his people. But I'm so excited about what God's done through Thaddeus and the material that you're going to be looking at in terms of the theme of being salty and also the preaching that's going to be done. But just keep in mind that small groups will begin the week of the 20th. We have information in the back there about which awesome people have been willing to host their homes for the small groups, and then also those who have been willing to lead the groups as well. We really want you to just really consider seriously being involved in a small group, the awesome community that's built, the incredible in-depth Bible studies that you're able to have together, and the overall encouragement that this is indeed real, and to press on in your faith and follow the Lord Jesus. You really get a chance to connect in a unique way with people and with the Lord, okay? So small groups, it's where it's at, okay? So if you're interested, please take a look at the maps and the small group sign-up sheets. It lists the leader with the address that it's going to be hosting. If you have any questions, we're going to be hovering around all day, and we'd love to help get you signed up, okay? So, 12 Things About 12th Street, that's a study that Pastor Thaddeus is going to be starting up. Was it the 20th also? So if you're new and would like to learn more about 12th Street, this is the class for you. If you're considering becoming a member of 12th Street, this is the class for you as well. If you are already a member and are just inquisitive about 12th Street, yes, this is the class for you too. Please join us for this series. I definitely plan on being a part of that so I can learn more about this awesome community that I've been plugged into. 10 a.m. in his office, by the way. 10 a.m., January 20th, beginning. So that's going to be like a Sunday school class, essentially, which is very cool, okay? Upward basketball practice begins the week of January 14th, right around the corner. First game is scheduled for January 19th at 8:30 a.m., okay? Volunteers needed. We've mentioned this before for Brother Ronnie Chapman. Take a look there. January 12th, we're going to be leaving.
What, 8:30 a.m.?
8 a.m., January 12th, 8 a.m., but just take a look there. We need some volunteers to help build up that bathroom. Let's see, Wednesday night dinner, we're going to be resuming that this week, isn't that right? Along with Bible study, okay? Amen. That's right, amen, along with Bible study, that's really important. Men's basketball starting up again this Monday at 6:30 p.m. Also, remember, we have our men's breakfast Tuesday, 8:30 a.m. at McDonald's on 9th Street. Awesome time of fellowship then. Food pantry, keep in mind, we need volunteers for that. And if you have an interest in helping, please see Sister Krista Asher or Lynn Anderson. Information about church closing still remains the same. Okay, and just a few other items here. Youth group is going to resume the week of January the 20th. Okay, and then also Awana resumes this Wednesday coming up. All right, so with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and pray. But before I pray, I want to give you a challenge, okay? Today, we're having praise and worship. We do this every Sunday, but I want you all to remember. You remember my coming out party? I said, I got to let you all know that I have to express myself, right? And so you might have seen that a little bit. And I encourage you to go all in worshiping the Lord. Stick out your hands. praise him with your lips. But that's so cool. I don't know if you guys remember what we learned from Pastor Thaddeus. I think it was Hebrews 13. We looked at our priestly duties as a royal priesthood. That's very cool. Do you really see yourself as kings and priests of the Most High God? And if you see yourself as a priest, have you considered your priestly duties to praise God with your lips and to do good? And I want to encourage you to praise God with your lips today and know that it is your priestly duty. And when you look to your neighbor just now after we pray, I want you to look at him and tell him, I'm a priest and I'm going to go to work today. Okay? I'm a priest and I'm going to go to work today. And I'm going to sing praises with my lips. And then after we sing praises, I want you to find that person a little bit later today and ask him, did you go to work? And look at him, get serious too, and stare at him until it's awkward. No, but seriously, encourage each other with that. Tell him you're a priest, tell him you're going to work today, and then ask him a little bit later on. And tell each other the truth, hold each other accountable, okay? That's good. Father God, thank you for our time together. As a people, as your children, God, this is real. And we're here together as a big body, as a local church, as an assembling of people. And in this assembly, God, we will worship you. We will remember you. So as we come together, Lord, would you help us to boldly proclaim your name even among each other and to give you the praise that's due. And help us to encourage each other to be bold outside of these walls and to claim you in this wonderful, wonderful role as children, as kings and priests. We thank you for this, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, ask each other. Let each other know. I'm a priest. I'm going to go to work. Find a neighbor. Find a neighbor. Let them know.
Right, if we could find our seats. It's good to hear that you're going to work. So before we go to work, we're gonna get ourselves centered a little bit, centered on God and who He is. So as you head back to your seats, just a quick announcement on Wednesday night. We actually have a special guest with us. A missionary will be with us, Don King with Kingdom Air Ministry or Missions, and he's been a missionary pilot for many years. So I'd like to encourage you to come out Wednesday night. If you're not part of Awana, come out and be part of the Bible study, and he'll be with us this Wednesday. I'd like to invite the deacons to come up to distribute the Lord's table. And as the deacons are coming up here, 2019, it's here. You are in church the first Sunday of 2019. All right? Good job. Good job. You made it. You are batting 1,000, okay? And you can do it all year. You can bat 1,000 when it comes to your church attendance all year. So I want to encourage you to do that. Now, the first Sunday of the month, what we do here at 12th Street Baptist Church, is the first Sunday of the month as we take communion. The Lord tells us to do this until He returns. And so, how often do you do it? Different churches do it at different times. We choose to do it once a month. We want to do it regularly enough to keep it in our memory. We want to keep it removed enough so that it doesn't become just commonplace. And so this morning, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if I were to say, are you born again, and you would not know what to say, then I'm going to invite you to just not participate. It's okay. No one will think anything differently of you. Instead of participating and taking these elements, what you need to do is trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and He will make your spirit born again. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you've been born again, but you've got sin in your life and you know it, and you will not confess it, and you've just been staring God in the face and saying, no, I'm sticking to my stubborn ways, then I'm going to encourage you this morning, don't take communion. Why would you want to commune with a God that you are rebelling against? Instead, take some time this morning to repent, turn. If you're here this morning and you're saved and you don't have any sin that you're living in rebellion with, you want a good, clean relationship with your Lord, then I invite you this morning, when we pass the plates around, there are two cups that are stacked. One has bread in the bottom and the other one has juice. And just take both those cups and hang on to them. And in just a few minutes, we're actually going to do something a little bit different this morning with communion. It's a new year, 2019, so we're going to do something just a little bit different. We're going to talk about our faith all together. We're going to speak our faith out loud. And so as the elements are being passed around, the bread, which represents Christ's body, the juice, which represents His blood, pray, talk to your Lord. If things are good, thank Him. Remember what He's done. If things aren't good between you and your God, make them right. And honestly, if you need to make a phone call to a family member or a loved one because things aren't good there, then head to my office, head to Cheryl's office, head to Carl's office. You can use one of our phones and make that call. Because this is a time that we want, it's communion. We're fellowshipping with each other and with our God. And so let's make sure that we're where God wants us to be relationally. Don, could you ask a blessing on the bread? you could take the bread, just repeat after me. This bread is a symbol of the Lord's body that was broken for me. So Jesus said, take, eat in remembrance of me. Robert, could you ask a blessing on the fruit of the vine?
Lord, we come before you this morning thanking you for the sacrifice that was made for us. Thank you for Jesus and his forgiveness of sin. Lord, you've given us all hope. Lord, I thank you for the time that you've given us together this morning. I pray that we dedicate this service to you. Pray your blessing upon the remainder of the service. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hold your cup. Repeat after me. This cup represents Jesus' precious blood that was shed for me. So when Jesus took the cup, he said, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now Jesus and his disciples, when they took the first Lord's table, they sang some hymns. Let's stand together. And we're going to start with, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And let's sing it out to our Lord because he's given us such a great gift.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, it's a real honor to come into singing God's house. But the Lord's house is his people. And so as we're here today, and I have this wonderful opportunity to stand and to lead with you, I want us to really experience God's presence. I don't want us to try and sound good. I don't want us to try and sound better than our neighbor. I don't want us to be quiet because we don't think we sound good. I want us to do our priestly duties. I want us to praise God with our lips. But it doesn't matter what I want. Do you want to do your priestly duties? That's what I'm going to talk about today, okay? And so just as we're coming here in his presence, I just want us to remember that this is a sacred privilege. And if you really view it that way and come to grow in that perspective as I want to, we're gonna experience something awesome. It's going to be real fellowship with a real God. Okay? Awesome. Let's go.
Thank you.
How'd that feel? Doing your duty. Feels good to worship God. He's pleased with what we bring, not because of how awesome we bring it, but because he cleaned us up. And he made us worthy and able to bring him praise. And so it's an honor to be able to do that today. So as we go into the next song, ask God to help you. Ask God to help you, because it's God in us who makes us acceptable. And so if you're feeling weird, feeling scared, I'm feeling nervous. I'm like, Lord, help me to loosen up and really praise you. So if you're feeling all right, pray for me and say, God, would you help this guy focus on doing his duty? Let's go. Songs here, ask God to specifically give you a sense of all of who he is and to make it clear who he is from what you remember about what he said about himself. Do we believe God is who he says he is? And so when we sing to him, ask God to get your heart ready word, which he's going to speak through his servant Thaddeus. But until then, we got some more work to do. And so during this time, let's ask God to prepare us.
You were condemned.
give you honor, we give you praise. We lift you up. You're the highest God. There is no other God but you. And you make it clear who you are through your creation. You make it clear who you are through the things that we can't see, like music, the intangibles. And then also through our community, God, we're also able to see exactly what you intend to have with us, and that is intimate fellowship. So Lord, before we go into our last song, I just pray that you'll work in us and through us, that you'll open our hearts, that you would soften our hearts to your word. And as Pastor Thaddeus was saying, if there be any unclean way in us, Lord, if we're resisting you in any way, that we would repent, that we would submit to you and trust your healing power, that you are a God of love who seeks our best. And so, Lord, we thank you for making us worthy and clean, making us whiter than snow. We thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. Actually, there is no other song. There's just Pastor Thaddeus, right?
Ushers.
I'm sorry about that. Okay, ushers, come forward.
Want to say thank you for this day. We thank you for Pastor Thad. And now we just take our privilege of giving our tithes and offerings to you, that you can take these and use them to further our ministry. Now be with us, each gift and giver, through the balance of this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Song to you. It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. With every breath, I'm singing Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. Child, they searched the inn to find a place for you, coming soon. There was no room for them to stay, so in a manger filled with hay, God's only son was born. Oh, alleluia, alleluia. The shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light. A host of angels led them all to you. It was just as the angels said, you'll find him in a manger bed. Emmanuel and Savior, alleluia. Hallelujah. to be a man and one day die for me and you. My sins would drive the nails in you. That rugged cross was my cross too. Still every breath you drew.
Tired, I'm worn, my heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing.
So as we can see, assisting an individual who's in severe pain, who no longer wishes to live that daily struggle, is actually an act of compassion.
But what about the fact that physicians swear to the Hippocratic Oath and their purpose is to help heal and prevent illnesses to the best of their abilities?
It seems like a valid concern, Dr. James.
Oh, so now it spreads. A to Stephanie.
Well, yeah. Such a physician is playing God. He doesn't know when the patient's condition could improve or a breakthrough treatment might become available and change the situation.
I would say that in some small-minded, conservative pockets of the medical community, this type of idea could be found. But for those of us who are truly educated in the treatment options for, chronic pain and terminal illnesses, soon come to understand that assistant physician end-of-life treatment becoming more common around the world, including the United States.
Just because it's common doesn't make it right.
Oh, and what does make it right, my brainwashed little friend?
What God says in the Bible does.
Oh, God. Yes. Am I the only one here who thinks this entire conversation is ridiculously archaic? You know, the simplicity of your uneducated thinking really is amusing. But if you intend to complete this course, these religious ideas that you cling to so well must cease. Class dismissed.
Why didn't you speak up?
Yeah, when Dr. James has gone on and on like this before, you normally have something to say. But today, nothing.
Yeah, crickets.
There's nothing to say.
Nothing to say? Since when? You've always been the first to speak up about what God says in the Bible.
Why me? You could have just said something.
Were you even paying attention? I did. I'm the one he called brainwashed and uneducated.
Nothing was going to change from me speaking up other than that old doc mocking me too. I just don't need it anymore.
Oh, hey, Jim, are we riding together this afternoon?
For what?
To serve dinner downtown at the shelter.
thing that we've been doing every Thursday for 2 years now?
Oh, I've got better things to do.
Like what?
Just some things I get off my chest.
And they have to be done now? Are you kidding me? You know the team is shorthanded already. And the mission says that we have to have 5 people in order to run the stations. You are a number 5. Without you, there is no meal. You already know this.
Find someone else.
In an hour's time. Really? You couldn't have told one of us before now?
What's the difference? We go there, we feed the same people time and time again. Somebody else can do it. I've got clothing to wash, I've got a couple projects due next week, and there's this basketball game tonight I just really don't want to miss.
Basketball? Seriously, those people aren't going to eat tonight if you don't show up.
Not my problem.
Ooh, Jimmy boy, you lit them up tonight. Woo! You were on fire, man. You changed the way we look at Thursday night hoops around here. You always said you were busy when we played, but I'm glad you made it anyway. What brought you here?
Man, I was doing great. It's just some meal my youth group does downtown. I told them I had better things to do.
Ha, you had a lot to say, too, especially on defense. I thought you Christians didn't talk like that. John couldn't handle it.
He was totally gone. He couldn't make a shot to save his life.
You know, this is funny. We've been friends for a long time, and I used to think that you were so different than us. But after today, I see you're no different than me.
You know, the scriptures tell us in Matthew 5, don't worry kids, I'm going to dismiss you in a second. In Matthew 5 and verse 13, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. And what we just saw was Jim lost his saltiness. And I hope for each and every one of us as we enter 2019 that we take the challenge to be salty. So at this time, we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church. And as they're heading out to Children's Church, take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. A man walked into a little mom-and-pop grocery store and asked, do you sell salt? Ha, said the Pop proprietor. Do we sell salt? Just look. And Pop showed the customer one entire wall of shelves stocked with nothing but salt. Morton salt, iodized salt, kosher salt, sea salt, rock salt, garlic salt, seasoning salt, Epsom salts. Every kind of salt imaginable. Wow, said the customer. You think that's something, said Pop, with a wave of the hand. That's nothing. Come look. And Pop led the customer to a back room filled with shelves and bins and cartons and barrels and boxes of salt. Do we sell salt? He said. Unbelievable, said the customer. You think that's something, said Pop. Come, I'll show you salt. And Pop led the customer down some steps into a huge basement, 5 times as large as the previous room, filled wall to floor to ceiling with every imaginable form and size and shape of salt, even huge 10-pound salt looks for the cow pasture. Incredible, said the customer. You really do sell salt. No, said Pop. That's just the problem. We never sell salt. But that salt salesman, whoo, boy, does he sell salt. We're going to be, this year, focusing on being salty. So our theme is be salty. Next Sunday, when you get here, we will have T-shirts for all of you that they say be salty on them. And so when you come next Sunday, actually, you're going to have to jump through one hoop to get your T-shirt. But that'll be all right. We'll worry about that next week. But our goal for this year is to be what God wants us to be. Last year, We focused on being game changers, and there was a lot of great things that we were able to think about, talk about, and do as a church. This year, I am encouraging you to be salty. And turn with me to Luke chapter 14, and look with me at verse 34. This is another message that Jesus preached, different than the Sermon on the Mount. And actually, Mark records another message that Jesus preached, which is different than both of these. And in every single one of these messages, Jesus talks about salt. I already read to you from Mark chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." Now here in Luke chapter 14, look at verse 34, it says, "Salt is good. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Or wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So, if salt is an important item in Scripture, in fact, a description that Jesus uses for us, we need to understand where this idea comes from, what Jesus and the disciples and the crowd he was preaching to would have understood, and then we need to know how to apply that to us today. So, there are two elements. Salt is made up of sodium and chlorine. The ionic bond that takes place is called sodium chloride. Here's how these two elements combine. Sodium is a 2-8-1 element, meaning it has two electrons on the inside, eight in the middle, and one on the outer ring. And if you don't know any of that, it doesn't matter, okay? It's a negatively charged element, okay? Then you have chlorine. Chlorine is a 2-8-7, two on the inside, eight in the middle, seven on the outside. And what happens is the one outer electron in sodium, when it comes in contact with chlorine, it goes to the chlorine. It jumps, making the chlorine a positively charged ion. And now we have this negatively charged sodium. So when you have a negative and a positive, they attract, right? Opposites attract. And boom. Now you have sodium chloride. I was going to try and show the bond that takes place. I was going to get a little bit of sodium and put it on a table and pour some chloride on it and chlorine on it. I didn't want to burn the church down. So I got a video here that I want you to watch how this chemical combining takes place. Here we go.
Sodium and chlorine are examples of atoms that combine ionically. Sodium is a reactive, soft, silvery metal of low density. Its atoms have one valence electron. Chlorine is a corrosive, yellowish-green gas. Its atoms have seven valence electrons. When mixed, the two atoms combine explosively as an electron moves from each sodium to each chlorine atom. A closer look at the resulting product reveals the formation of small white sodium chloride particles, also known as table salt.
So Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." In Romans 5:10, it tells us this: "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his glorious, marvelous light." Ephesians 2:19 says, "Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God." The truth is, we used to be on our own. But Christ came to us, and he changed us by bringing a completely new form of life to us. We are now bonded with him. Sodium chloride needs the two separate elements to join to form one new compound. We need to be joined in Christ in order for us to be the salt of the earth. So the second point in your bulletin is, when you are saved, you are salt. Jesus never says, try to be salt. He says, you are salt. Well, how does that work? All right, I didn't put this verse in your bulletin because I wanted you to write it in, okay? Galatians 2:20. Write that in. So if you come back and you ever study this and put stars next to it, and then take your Bible and turn to Galatians 2:20. And here's what I have done in my Bible. I have a big star next to Galatians 2:20. I circled it, and I underlined every word in the verse. Why? Because this is really important. This is how we become salt. See, before we're in Christ, we're our own element. But here's what happens. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. So, we just took communion this morning. We remembered that he died for us. He was crucified. And when he was crucified, if we believe in what he did, we trust his work, then here's what he does. Our sin, every wrong thing we've ever done, it is now crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm crucified with him, but I'm not dead, right? I'm living, breathing, walking. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. This is the chemical reaction that takes place at salvation that changes you from your own element into salt. It's when you trust Christ and he saves you, Christ lives inside of you. Now, we got to think back for the last few weeks. We talked about the pre-incarnate Christ. We talked about the fact that Jesus Christ is God, always has been God. He is the I am. Before Abraham was, Jesus said, I am. He is the creative force of God. He is the word that speaks. He is the one who came and lived and died. And now here's what he does. He takes up residence in your life. And when he takes up residence in your life, you become, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, a new creature. You used to be one kind of element, but when Christ joins to you, you become something brand new. This is what makes us salt. We're not salt because of what we do. We're salt because of the reaction that takes place when Christ enters our life. It changes us into something new. So if you're here this morning and you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've been born again, you are salt. Christ has taken up residence inside of you. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the key to us being salt, but now also maintaining our savor, our saltiness. It's by keeping to our faith and living by that faith every day. The third thing in your bulletin. Some salt is good, savory salt. Some salt is dead, useless, flavorless. So you're telling me that there can be Christians who are worthless. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm just going to read what Jesus said again in Luke chapter 14. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. some salt is worthless. So how does salt lose its saltiness? Let's go back to nature. Because when Jesus said this, the people obviously had to have something in their mind that they were thinking about that, yes, salt lost its saltiness. So the substance in the mix of NaCl, that's Na is sodium, Cl is the chlorine, it's soluble in water. If it's exposed to moisture, the NaCl, the sodium chloride, it could disappear and leave a white film. And that white film could look like salt, but not have any of the substantive properties that make salt effective. So if you expose sodium chloride to too much water, like condensation, rain, the sodium chloride could be dissolved and removed, and the salt could really truly lose its saltiness. We don't use salt as much. It's not as necessary. It's very necessary in our world today, and we'll talk more in subsequent weeks about that. But salt was very important in this day. They didn't have refrigeration like we have. Salt was their means of preserving their meat. Very important. Salt that lost its saltiness, it actually caused harm. So they would be aware of these properties that would make it lose its saltiness. In the ancient world, salt was not always derived from evaporating seawater. That's what a lot of people, when they think of salt, it's like, oh, evaporated seawater, that's where you find your salt. It also was taken from marshes and from other areas that the salt was combined with other earthy elements. And when salt is combined with earthy elements, that's when salt loses its savor. That's when it loses its saltiness. So when Jesus said to the people, you are the salt of the earth, the salt that's lost its savor is good for nothing, or the salt that's lost its saltiness is good for nothing, here's what we can take from that. If we've been exposed to too much of the earth, to too much of the world, we will lose our saltiness. 1 John 2:15 says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. As salt, we shouldn't be mixing our lives with the elements of this world. I read 1 Peter 2:9. We are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. We are supposed to be different. And as salt, if we are mixing ourselves with the world, we will lose our saltiness. So the fourth thing is, the more we love and mix with the world, we lose our saltiness. The more we love and mix with the world, we lose our saltiness. Salt played a really important role in Israel. It was necessary to their lifestyle, and it had great commercial value. Salt was used as a preservative for meats and as a means of payment. The soldier who was not worth his salt, that's where it comes from the ancient world, where a soldier would be called not worth the salt because he was not worth his salary. He had earned his salary. They come from the same Latin root word. And that Latin word is salus, okay? And then in Greek, it's halus. And now we have salary, comes from that. But they're all derivatives of the same word, that the origin is salt. And a Christian who loses their saltiness is good for nothing. Jesus warned his disciples not to lose the characteristic that brought them out of the life that was of the world. He warned them not to lose that preservative power that they had as salt. Not to lose their spirit of devotion their self-sacrifice to Jesus and the gospel. So the fifth thing in your bulletin is, the challenge to us is be salty. If you're saved, you are salt. So let's just have a little exercise here, okay? Maybe you've never thought of it this way, and I want you to really get this concept. If you are saved, say this out loud with me, I am salt. I don't try to be salt. I am salt. I don't have to do anything to be salt. I am salt. Everybody got it? Do you get what I'm saying? All right? We are salt. Why? Because if Christ has saved you, he has changed the compound of your life. You are no longer a single element. He is now in you. And he's formed this ionic bond with you where you are now salt. Okay. So what does this mean for us as a church? What does this mean for us as we go into 2019 and we look at, all right, we're supposed to be salty. Okay, we're going to take 10 weeks to sort all this out. I'm not going to try to tackle this all in 1 week because Jesus has a lot to say about it. We're going to take 8 weeks of small group study to dive into it deeper and really knead our way through it. And that's why I want to encourage every single one of you at the Welcome Center. We have several locations for small groups. Get involved in a small group so you can have this in 10 weeks. There's no magic formula to this, but tell you what, studying God's word and allowing it to speak to your heart, it will allow you, if you surrender to it, to be salty. You already are salt, but now we need to be salty. I did some research. I looked up top goals for churches, and I put in the last 10 years. So I'm going to read to you four of the top goals of churches. Number one, coolest coffee area. That's the way to get your church, right? If you got a cool coffee area. Number two, the most up-to-date song. Most up-to-date. If you got the most up-to-date songs, then you've got it together. Number three, the wow factor. I mean, every week you got to have that wow. Number four, most relevant topics. You know, we could have all of those things and still not be salty. So, who is 12th Street Baptist Church? Who are we? What are we striving for? Well, I'm going to give you five quick things. These are in your bulletin. I want to be a preservative for God's truth. Number two, we want to season this world with the flavor of the gospel. Our works need to point people to Jesus. And let me just say this, no matter how many people we have, I think if we're salty, we will continue to grow. We want to be salty, all of us, not just me, not just Pastor Carl. If he's the only salty one, we're going to fail. Can't just be the deacons. It can't just be our Sunday school teachers. You know what? It's got to be every single one of us being salty because we are the church. Number three, we want the entire church to be salty. The entire church. Number four, what we do corporately has the aim at seasoning the community. When we put together programs, we do outreach. Why? We are seasoning the community. And number five, we want to aid this local body in being spicier. We got to be a spicy church, folks. If we don't do this, Jesus says, We are worthless, even for a dunghill. Think about that for a second. A manure pile has more value than a church that is not salty. We are not worth manure if we're not salty. So I just want to just close with this quick little illustration here. I got in my pocket here, this is salt. This is real salt. It's from a restaurant. I don't remember which one. It is real salt, all right? This salt is salty. In fact, there was so much salt in my meal, I didn't need to add this to it. But I know that this would have added something because I've got some salt here. Now, 12th Street. I don't know how many people we have, about 200 here today, maybe a little more. I'm going to pour out the salt here. You can probably barely see it, but got a little pile going there. All right. As a church, 12th Street, we are salt. But we've got to be salty. This is salty. Now, there are some churches, and we could fall into this, that they got a whole lot of salt. And they got a lot more salt. Let me look at that. Can you see that? I can't tip it too much or I'll lose it. I mean, there are some places got a lot of salt. But it ain't salty. And if it isn't salty, it's more worthless than a manure pile. Think about that, folks. 2019, 12th Street Baptist Church. I won't be salty. I'm not going to worry about getting a lot of salt. Because if the salt isn't salty, then we're worthless. Be salty. Heavenly Father, you've given us this wonderful word through Jesus. I thank you that we are salt. When you saved us in Jesus Christ, you entered into our life, you made us salt. And I thank you that we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So Lord, we say thank you for making us salt. But Lord, we have this huge, huge responsibility to remain salty. I pray, Lord, that we would not be immersing ourselves into the world, because the more we rub with the world, the more we lose our saltiness. Help us, God, to be mindful of being who you want us to be. Lord, I would love to see this church full every Sunday. But if it happens at the expense of being salty, then we don't want that. We can make a tremendous impact on this community if we just live salty faith for you. Lord, if there's anyone here who's never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they've never been born again, they don't have Christ living inside of them, I pray that this morning they would have the courage to just walk to the front, tell me that they want to trust you, and Lord, you want to save them, and I pray they would be born again this morning. And I pray for every single person here that has faith in you. If we just walk away and say, oh, that was nice, yep, got to be salty, but we don't examine ourselves or allow for the truth of what your Spirit is saying to each one of our hearts right now, if we don't let you speak, then, Lord, we will not be salty. So I pray those who need to come and kneel at the altar before you and say, God, I have not been salty.
I pray they would confess it. And Lord, you are so awesome. If you can make us salt, you can help us be salty again. So restore to us the spiritual properties that we need in our life so we can be effective for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing this song in closing.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
In this 2019, we need you. To be salty, we need you. And I thank you that you never leave us. You never forsake us. You are the God who is always an ever-present help in every time of trouble. So God, we have this awesome task laid out in front of us to be salty. God, help us. So now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever we could ask or think, be glory and honor, praise and dominion, both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Don't forget to sign up for a small group.